Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church here in Tampa, and we announced, I believe it was last week or a week before, our theme for this year, and it's the theme is Stand By Me, Stand In Me, Stand With Me, Stand On Me, Stand Through Me. We need to really put our trust in the living God that we serve through Jesus Christ. And when we do stand with Him and stand by Him, we'll see all of the problems that we face and think are so insurmountable just kind of dissipate. They just don't matter anymore. Learning to trust God, what a theme for this year, Stand By Me. And today we want to also encourage one another to do that through scriptures and examples in the scriptures and real life situations. But our titled our message today, along with our theme for this year of Standing By Me, our message today titled Faithfully and Fearlessly Devoted to God. If we are not faithful and fearless before Him, then we're not going to be able to stand against the onslaught of the powers of darkness that are in this world today and the things that are coming upon the church. The adversary truly wants to destroy everything that stands for our living God, including you and me. And so our message today is faithfully and fearlessly devoted to the Lord. So if you would turn with me, there is some awesome things here I think you're going to get out of this in Second Chronicles, Samuel King's Chronicles, in Second Chronicles chapter 20. Just want to extract some things out of there and hopefully help us all to be encouraged to be able to use these things and these principles in your daily life, standing with the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and starting with verse 1, I love how the scriptures always, they start out so often, and it says, and it came about. And it's so neat because things do come about, situations do arise, and the Lord is wanting us to take and receive what He has, what He has for us to deal with that, whatever's coming about. And so a lot of things. How many of you have a lot of come abouts in your life? How many of you, I can't see your hands of those who may be listening to this, but I know if you were here, your hands would be raised because there's a lot of come abouts. And so when it comes about, when the temptations come and situations arise, the Lord wants us to look to Him and to fear not, but to trust Him. It came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Midianites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat just happens to be the king of Judah, and the capital of Judah was Israel, Jerusalem. And so not a good idea to make war with Israel. Not a good idea to be not on the same side of Israel. And so I really cringe when I see any coldness whatsoever, politically or any other way, from our nation wanting to distance ourselves from Israel.
Yes.
You don't want to do that. The problem that we have in our leadership today is they don't know God's word. They don't know the history of what happens to those who are against Israel. We don't have a boatload of politicians that got that downloaded in their brain and in their heart. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're not guided by the Holy Spirit of God. They're guided by political venues, political agendas. You scratch my back, you know, I'll scratch yours, you know, you want that road put through, and, you know, what are you going to do for me? If you wanted me to do that for you, then, you know, you're going to have to do something for me. So back and forth, it's all political in many cases. We do have politicians that love the Lord, that do understand God's word. And I thank God that we do, because those, along with those on this earth that love the Lord, the light of God is suppressing the darkness for this time. But there's going to be a time when things are going to be released and things are going to happen. We know that. But you don't want to be warring in verse 1 against Israel. Now, there were times, and you know this and I know this, that God allowed the enemies to not only go after Israel, but to destroy about everything they had because of their disobedience. But in general, I'm just saying you don't want to mess with Israel, because Israel is what? The apple of God's eye. And don't think you're excluded from Israel and this family because Jews and Gentiles are all the same now. You know, we know that Jesus came to graft us in into that vine. And Israel, you know, would cut themselves off. God grafted, he grafted us all in now into the vine, Jews and Gentiles. So you don't want to be warring with Israel, because you're fighting against the very God, the living God himself. So I cringe when I see there are some people with persuasions, a little cold toward Israel. And I don't like that, you know, because I'm a child of God, and you need to be careful. Then, verse 2, and then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. How many of you know that it is very possible for you not even to see what is going to come against you? A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. Well, today you don't know anything. You're kind of good. You got some things going on. There's other things you don't know that are going on. But there's some things out there that may be coming against you that you haven't even seen yet. They're over the hill, over the mountain, or beyond the sea, or whatever. Just know that's very possible in a Christian's life for something, even in this case, called multitudes coming against you. How many of you had multitudes of thoughts that one day from the next? I mean, it wasn't bothering you on Monday, but on Tuesday it sure got you. How does that happen? I'm God's child. Bam, 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 bam. You know, and you just sometimes want to give up. And one thing leads to the next. How many times are you going to correct me? I cleaned my room up. I did this, did my homework, did this. Whoa, whoa. Let's slow down here a little bit. Multitudes of things, very realistic to that individual. How are you going to handle it? Our young ones, our older ones, whatever, we need to really understand that these things are not uncommon to a Christian. It doesn't mean you're a bad guy or a bad girl. It just means that, you know, you need to trust God, and you need to be encouraged to trust God, because these thoughts, these multitudes, this enemy wants to destroy your flow and your relationship to the Lord, the flow of God's Spirit. He wants to interrupt. But that's why you have to be on to that. But anyhow, just make these things applicable to you in your daily life when you read these accounts, because they're very real and spiritually relative to all of us. And so anyhow, in verse 3, Jehoshaphat, look at this in verse 3. What does your Bible say about Jehoshaphat, this king of Israel? And it says, and Jehoshaphat was what? My Bible says he was afraid. Hey, by the way, these guys are coming after you, and he, the king, was afraid. Is it wrong to say to the Lord, I'm afraid? I'm facing this surgery, but God, I have fears. I'm afraid. I don't want to be that way. I want to go in here with confidence, with all the bright lights and the cold room and all the masks and gowns and everything. God, I don't want to go in here afraid. I want to go in here with confidence, but right now I'm afraid. Is there anything wrong with anyone saying I'm afraid? There's nothing wrong with that. The wrongness is holding on to it and owning fear. You want to own fear, then you're going to get fear, and you're going to go under the knife in fear. But if you trust God, if you cry out to Him and have others crying out too, we go in fear of God and in prayer, June. We go in prayer, and the covering of God is with His children. We don't have to fear, not that we fear God in a good way, but we don't have to fear this world and darkness and the gutness of it, the horribleness of the fear. We want to go with confidence, but we're going to have to tell and be truthful to Him. God, I fear, but I don't want to. And so what are we going to do about it? There's something we can do about it, about this fear. It's so powerful. And it says, Jehoshaphat, he's a king, and he says, I'm afraid, and turned his attention to do what? It says he turned his attention to do what? What does your Bible say?
Seek
the Lord. He turned his attention to seek the Lord. We sing, you know, we were singing earlier your eyes, what, above the waves, above the sea? I don't want to go below. I want to turn my attention to you. He turned his attention to seek the Lord, it says in verse 3, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah was the land, the southern kingdom, and Jerusalem was the capital. But in all Judah, he sought the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. It's been on my heart, lady, this fast thing. Now, I just want to invite you, because I'm going to do it regardless if no one wants to join with me. But I just want to encourage this body and this family. You seek the Lord on this if you're to be involved. But I want to invite you. I'm going to go forward with this. And I'm not going to tell you that and welcome you or encourage you to enter into a juice fast or any kind of thing that anybody can come up with. You know, eat one apple a day, y'all. You know, one apple a day and one in the morning and a banana at night. I'm just telling you, seek God. But what I also heard was you got to give up. To get, you got to give up. And just like exercising, you're going to be tempted and, you know, why'd I do that? You know, well, this is all on you, between you and the Lord. But starting Saturday, I started from Saturday until March the 7th, of 40 days of giving up what God showed me to give up. And there are some churches right now. My church, my son in New Orleans, they went through a 21-day thing, and just recently City Life went to a 21-day thing. And so why am I saying 40? I'm just saying 40 because that's what I heard. And there have been people fast for 40 days on water. I mean, I know. And some people have done it because, Lord, I'm going to do this. And it's just all flesh, and they get in a lot of trouble. I mean, that is a very spiritual thing. You better be hearing from the Lord. And I want to ask you, what is fasting all about, by the way? Why is this king saying, man, we got some multitude of things coming. We got some things coming down the road here. But, you know, he sought the Lord and he proclaimed a fast in Judah. I'm not proclaiming a fast. I'm not king over you. Jesus is your king. But I do know it will be beneficial to every soul in here that wants to do this to give up something. You seek God and what God shows you to give up, I guarantee you, if you're doing it looking to the Lord by faith, looking to Him, you're going to benefit. Whatever it is. Great big old fat hog of a apple fritter every Monday for me. Well, I'm going to give it up. You know what? Whatever. Right? Every Wednesday I have about 3 pounds of pork. Okay, that's going to go. Whatever it is, whatever the Lord shows you. But there's going to be something that you do give up that you're going to know is not in your life right now. But there is a principle. You don't give up to the Lord, but He don't give back to you. Manifold back. And so, however you want to do this, you don't have to hold your hand up or anything like that, but I just want to say to you, 40 days, I'll join with you again on Monday, starting the 40th day, from the 27th, which I believe is tomorrow, to March the 7th, through March the 7th. And then March the 8th would be the beginning of the 41st day. If you want to do this, I am stirred to encourage this body. God, let us do something to move some steps, some baby steps toward hearing your voice, because God, we need it. And then when we come together, I said, somebody's got something from the Lord. And then I hear you. Because there has to be something in there ticking and churning that God, I've got something to say here. And you said it. And we heard it. And without it, we would have that loss, so to speak. We're still going to hear from God, but still, it's good to be involved. And so What's fasting all about? Why is he fasting? Why fast? We don't have to fast. We're under a new covenant. And we don't have to do that anymore. And there's many things in the old law that were under the law. But fasting, as far as my understanding, has not been done away with. You know, because the Bible even tells us that there's strong men and demons, and this kind comes out not except by fasting and what? Prayer. So this is not just about fasting. It's fasting and prayer. They always go hand in hand. And so, fasting is there because something's happening. There's a stirring. There's a need to hear from God. That's the bottom line. It's not just because there's trouble. Oh, I'll fast. I got a toothache, so I'm going to fast. Or, you know, my right eye hurts a little bit and itches. I'm going to fast. That's not what it's all about. It's to seek God, to hear from God. And I believe the church, are these other things going on where my son goes to New Orleans and these other things I've been hearing, these people, there's a stirring. Nicole, I don't know if anything like that's been said. Stirring?
I went to a Miami to a big Spanish church there, and they just finished a 21-day fast.
It's 21 days.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know all that was going on. I did hear that about my son.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. But I believe God's family is, we need to lay some things down to, what it is a time to focus more on Him than us.
Amen.
So, and I'll guarantee you're not going to die. You give up the apple fritter. You're not going to die because you give up the apple fritter or whatever it is that, you know. But I know what the Lord showed me, and may God show you. Now, I want to be honest with you. I've never been under or heard a teaching or a preaching where the pastor said, now you seek God, what He wants you to give up. I haven't. It's usually, we're all going to do this.
Yeah.
And we're all going to do this, and this is how it's going to be, and you're going to have your, you know, your fruit shake in the evening, and we're going to do this the next day. You have a bowl of, you know, of porridge at noon or something. But I'm just saying, this puts it on you.
Yeah.
Is nobody telling you what to do? And if somebody else says, "Well, I can't do that because I have health issues or whatever," but I bet you there's something that you can. I bet you can lay something down. So, what this is about is for us. See, I want to make this applicable to us today. I want to extract and say, hey, well, what's this mean for me, Carlos? Because this is already on my heart. Then I saw that, and he's fast. I said, okay, I'm gonna go forward with this, Lord. So, for 40 days. Oh, I can't do it. I'll die. Well, whatever. You're already saying I can't, so. Does anyone have any question? Do you understand what I'm saying? And if anyone in here does not want to do this, then there's no condemnation, because I ain't going to ask your name anyhow. And I ain't going to have no roster. And I'm not going to have some up here. What's your menu? What'd you eat? Oh, I can tell you. You messed up. You're not with the elite. You didn't need an apple fritter, but you nailed a pound of pudding or whatever. You know, whatever. There's no law. It's by the Spirit of God. And so Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from the whole, from the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. They came from all over. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens? And art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hands, so that no one can stand against thee. He's already saying nobody, no threat can stand against thee, because they're coming against you, God. He's saying that to God. What, don't you think God would be standing there saying, yeah, I know. God does know. But he doesn't look down on us, Drew, and say, yeah, I know. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, God, I want you to know that I know that you are. You can say that to God. Nobody can come against you. And God does know that. It's not that you're going to you're the one that makes that true or false. It's true regardless. But we need to say that. It's called what? Profession. It's called confession. It's called, you know, declaring to God who we are in Him, and we're going to do it His way. It's opening our mouth. It's glorifying to God for us to say to Him, He's Almighty. No one can come against Him. And so, and then the end of that, in verse 7, did thou not, O our Lord, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham by Abraham, thy friend forever? And they lived in it, and they built thee a sanctuary there for thy name, saying, oh, wow, look at verse 9. Nancy, look at verse 9. Should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, our theme this year, remember, stand by me, watch this. Should all these things come, it says, we what will stand before this house and before thee, for thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our distress, and thou will hear and deliver us. They're already saying God's going to deliver them before it even happened. But we're going to cry out to thee in our what? In our what? My Bible says distress.
Affliction.
Affliction. Is there anything wrong with telling the Lord not only that you're fearful, but you feel afflicted? You feel the distress. Lisa could say to Drew, honey, I just really feel this. I'm really feeling this. But get over it, honey. You're a pillar of the church. You're up there rocking out. You sing. Oh, what do you mean you're in distress? That doesn't happen. It's not possible. Well, I don't think he would. Because 5 minutes later, Drew could be saying to Lisa, oh, honey, would you pray with me? I need you to pray. I'm really feeling this. Stay humble. Because you could be the very one being battered. Just stay humble. Stay humble. And now behold the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou didst not let Israel invade when they came out from the land of Egypt and turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See, these people, God said, don't destroy them. They could have when they come out of Egypt. But the Lord said, don't destroy them, so they didn't. And now these jokers are coming against Israel. That's a nice thing to do. I mean, they didn't invade them, destroy them, and pillage them when they came out of Egypt. But now these are the people that are coming against them. How about that? And behold, how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from thy possession, which thou hast given to us as an inheritance. You see, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're God's possession. And the devil wants to possess, like we've said before, the pastures of God, the dwellings of God. The devil wants to kick the spirit out. He can't do it. It's impossible, but he will try. You belong to God. You're God's people. You're God's property. But the devil wants to invade you. And a lot of times the invasion comes right up here. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Does that make sense? It all starts with a thought. You heard that?
I got that in one of my packets the other day in my group. It was on the first page. And it's amazing because I read it and it's so true. You know, your words become your thoughts and your thoughts become
yes, ma'am.
And so on and so forth.
Yes, ma'am.
And destinies, you know.
That is so true. Why did he look at me that way? Why did she look at me that way? They're always picking on me. And you look at somebody, they're not doing anything, you go, what? It's the thought. You're thinking what they think, which they're not thinking. But you already went through the process of thinking for them, and you got them thinking something they're not thinking. And so your thinking is wrong. And you already got your gun loaded. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a destiny, and sow a destiny, reach it. Yeah, I mean, sow a character, reap a destiny. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. O our God, verse 12, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. I don't know what to do. I've said this to Shirley. I don't know. I don't know what to do. There's nothing wrong with that. Carlos, it's good to say that in contrition and humility before. I don't know what to do. Did you ever have so many things to do on your plate, you don't know where to begin? I mean, it's just so many things. Here, there, here, everywhere, and everybody. Carlos, you have a full plate. You got some family issues, and they have problems, and you try to do what you can to help. But I think you're probably the anchor there, the only one that can help. But sometimes it can be just overwhelming. What do I do? And so you can say to the Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. But I do know, God, you care for me and you want me to be able to get through this successfully. This is powerful. And all Judah, verse 13, was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. You got the babies, you got the wives, and you got the children above infants. Everybody standing before the Lord in Judah. They're praying to God. They're fasting. They got trouble coming. In verse 14, then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came to Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the son of the sons of Asaph. The Spirit of the Lord came. How about that? The people were seeking the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came. Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon people in the Old Testament. Now through Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God indwells us. I'm going to give you the gift of the Father. I'm going to go and receive the gift of the Father. I'm going to give it to the church. So the Spirit of God was upon them at times. Come upon the prophets, and they would prophesy. We prophesy today by the Spirit of God coming from within, the waters of life. We prophesy, or we have a revelation, or we have a language we don't understand, but we interpret it in the body, and people understand what God is saying. God can do what He wants to do. But it's by the working of the Spirit. And He said, and the Spirit of God came in verse 14, and He said, listen, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I know, everybody know, every Christian, the battle's not yours, the Lord's, you know. We know that, and we talk about that, but it is so powerful and so true. I want to say this about what dismayed means. It says, do not fear nor be dismayed. Would somebody in here want to volunteer to get a concordance? Then next week, share with us how many times the Bible says, fear not or do not fear. Anybody want to take that on? And just tell it, hey, it appears, you know, 98,455 times. You know? And you can even pick out of that, if you want, some selected verses. Let's just say three verses out of that that you'd like to share with us about what God, who God said it to, and what were the circumstances. Do not fear or fear not. If you go to the courts, you're going to see you're going to see some serious stuff there about fear not and do not fear. Anybody want to take that on? Michelle? Well, you're the one that I was thinking of. I am. I was. I was thinking about her. But there again, I love the volunteerism. Do not fear, fear not. And then pick out three of those and share it with us. You know, that what the circumstances were. You don't have to hold 5 hours or anything like that, but just what's going on there. But it's very powerful. over and over again. And it says, oh, nor be dismayed. Not only do not fear, but dismayed means to prostrate, to be down, to break down, literally by violence or figuratively by confusion and fear, to be affright, to become afraid, to beat down, to be discouraged, to go down, to scare, to terrify. Do not fear or be dismayed. So whenever it says dismayed, it means just to be beat down. Not like there's no hope. We can't do this. There's too many. And God is not pleased with us saying, it's too much for me. You know, I can't handle this. And God, we also know, if you know God's word, He will not put on you more than what you can bear. Now, I'm not going to give Laura, you know, the same weights I give Drew or Carlos or Ted, this type of stuff. I may give you just a pound or two and have you work with this. But after a while, you'll be working your way up, maybe to 5 pounds. But He's not going to start out 3 pounds. He might start out 6 pounds or 7 pounds, whatever, or 10 pounds. But it may burn. It may burn, and you will feel it. But it'll also do what? Not destruction, but construction. I had a coach one time said, y'all get out there, hold your arms out, do this, backwards, do it forwards. And he just made a point. He said, just keep doing it. After a while, you just nothing but fire. Fire, just this. The arms just cantilevered out there type of thing, and burning, 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 and no longer laughing about it, because, you know, you can do that all day long, right? Well, then just keep doing it. We'll find out how easy it is. But God will not put on you more than what you can bear. Do not fear or be dismayed. In verse 15, because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. In verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, Z-I-Z, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight, verse 17, in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Once again, tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. How many of you ever had a procedure that you faced? It's on the schedule. We want to see you. We're going to do that root canal 2 weeks from now. How many of you did not look forward to that procedure? I faced that. Didn't look forward to it. But dang, wow. Let's get it done. You know, don't schedule me too far out. The thoughts can multiply. And so in verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. The king. Wouldn't you like to see our president bowing to the Lord up on the steps of the White House with his face to the steps, his face bowing? Say, come on, y'all. Let's fast and seek the face of God. We got trouble in this world. Boy, America would be turned upside down every which way but loose. Wow. Wouldn't you like to see Joe Biden up there with his face on the marble floor, maybe in the Oval Office? Take a picture of this, y'all. Joe Biden on the floor, in the carpet, with the president and his staff, all on the floor, seeking the face of God. Wow. I could go for that. He bowed his head with his face, verse 18, to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The whole region, Judah, they were in Jerusalem, all bowing to the Lord. Men, women, and children, and the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in His prophets and succeed. There's a lot of prophets going around. I mean, I know this because there's a lot of prophets go from church to church, and they're doing all kind of prophesying stuff. But you got to be careful. The prophets of the Lord, everything a prophet of God says will come to true. And other people are just doing their thing, calling themselves a prophet, not appointed by God. You be very careful what you hear and how you hear. What is of God? Discern between the spirit of God and the spirit of flesh. In verse 21, And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang in the Lord and those who praised him in holy attires. They went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." However, they sang it. But Nancy, they sang it over and over again. That's what they sang as they went out before the Lord. Can you imagine American soldiers having this big outfitted and adorned for the glory of God and these trumpets, and they're all singing before they go into battle? Well, we need to be wise with that. I don't know if Afghan or the Iraq people or anybody else, our enemies, would know what to do with that. But if God's behind it, God would award the victory, that's for sure. But they did it. And verse 22, "And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were rooted." I just want to share this with you in closing. I want to share this with you, a little sequence here, so you can just kind of ruminate on this, what happened here. Okay, I just went through each verse, and this is basically what happened in a nutshell. I'm just going to outline it for you real quick, what happened here in each one of these verses that we just read. This is so powerful. First thing that they did when they heard about the multitudes coming, they prayed and they fasted. Does that mean that they fasted and prayed for every battle? The Bible doesn't say that. But it does tell us many times when they did. Many times they prayed and fasted. It doesn't tell us how long they prayed and fasted. But up to this point and going out, they sure did. And they probably had a feast afterwards. I don't know. They probably did. But anyhow, they prayed and they fasted. In verse 10 and 11, they told God their situation and made request. "Let your request be made known unto the Lord. Let your request be known. God, I have problem with loving that person. I just don't love him. I'm borderline hatred. I just can't handle this." Can that be a good request? Or is it telling God that you're rotten? Is it telling God that you're just rotten because you hate? Well, no, that's what's in your heart, but you don't want it. You see, that's what's good. You don't want it. And that's good. They made their request in a situation known to the Lord. They have a problem in verse 10, 11. Verse 12, there was humility. Why? Because they said, "We are powerless. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." That's humility. We don't know what to do. But God, you do. In verse 13, they gave God their attention and position. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants and their wives and children. Is that not standing by me? Stand by me. They were standing. They gave God their position and attention. They stood before the Lord. In verse 14 and 15, it says God answers. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." In verse 16 and 17, there was instruction. "Go down against them. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Do not fear or be dismayed." And then also in Deuteronomy 3:8, we also see many times over, Michelle's going to see come through those scriptures, "Fear not, neither be dismayed," once again, over and over again. In verse 18, they worshiped the Lord. Jehoshaphat, the king, bowed his head with his face to the ground. They worshiped God, including the leaders. In verse 19, they stood up to praise God with a very loud voice. Is it okay to be loud when we sing? But not just to be loud. Somebody asked me when I went to see this speaker recently over here at this church. They asked me, "Does loud noise bother you? Does loud music bother you?" I said, "I don't like music that is louder than what I can hear or hear the words being sung by the musicians. I don't like the music being louder than it's like it's getting the glory and not the words that are coming forth." And she says, "Yeah, I agree." But it wasn't that way. It was okay. I mean, it was okay. But it has to be loud enough to hear, that's for sure. And the musicians giving glory to God, there's a loudness to it. But it can't be drowning God out. And that can happen sometimes. Shirley and I went to a small church one time. It was not much bigger than this, and there was the drums in here, and that guy was hitting them drums so loud, every time they hit the drum, it actually pierced my ears. And Shirley, she was in pain. It was kind of loud. Right now, they've got shields they put around the drummers, and it kind of helps that too. So, especially in a small place, you got to watch that. But anyhow, they stood up and they praised God in verse 19 with a very loud voice. In verse 20, they went out in obedience, putting their trust in God and His prophets. In verse 21, the king appointed singers who sang to give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. In verse 22, when they sang, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy. How many of you like to have God ambush these thoughts that you have sometimes? Ambush them, Lord. Can you just pray that? Remember what I'm saying right now. God, sick them. Ambush those thoughts, because they're not of you. There's too many. And God, I just want to be able to have communion with you, but these are drowning out my relationship with you. Lord, sick them. And the Lord will drown those thoughts out. He'll destroy them. They returned with joy and to rejoice over the enemies with many instruments. They rejoiced in what God has done. The dread, and this is what's so powerful. I'm going to close with this in verse 29. This is so powerful. You can read this again for yourself. There's a lot to get out of this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, what's going on here. But in verse 29, as a result of all this, looking to the Lord, praising God, fasting and seeking God, and victory over the enemy, here's the bottom line. The dread of God was on all the kingdoms of the lands when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. See, our politicians today, a lot of them don't know that. Oh, they might hear somebody preach about it or something, whatever, but don't go against Israel. But see, the dread of God fell upon the enemies when they heard that God defeated those who were against Israel. The dread. And I don't think we have enough dread on our politicians today, really respecting who Israel really is, the apple of God's eye. That's my personal opinion. So if you're listening to this message today, whomsoever you may be, those who may be here or listening to this, it would behoove you to seek the face of God, that He may do battle with your enemies. And if the enemy has you right now and he's got you chained, I want to invite you to call upon Jesus, who loosens the chains and breaks the chains of the powers of darkness that have held you captive in whatever area of your life. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to beg you, I want to encourage you to ask Him to be Lord of your life, come into your life, be king, be ruler of your life. Because the way you're ruling it right now, if you don't know Him, is chaotic and leads straight to a place called hell without Jesus Christ. So all you got to do is call out to Him and say, Jesus, I don't want to do it my way anymore. I want to do it your way. I want you to take the reins and be Lord of my life. Jesus, take the wheel. And you drive. I can't do this anymore. I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't done that. And understand that God loves you. He's not out to beat you down. He loves you. He wants you on board. He wants you on the glory train, not the long black train. So God bless you and help you and encourage you today with this message.